like right here. Just pay attention to us. The middle children.
Hi, I'm Jesse Jollis.
And I'm Fat Carrie Bradshaw.
And this is Middle Children. Beautiful. I lost my breath there.
I feel like we actually hit the same exact note.
Like an octave apart.
And it, to me, felt like perfect pitch.
It worked.
Some might say.
It worked. And some of you might be going, are my ears bleeding or just really hot? And the answer is...
Probably both.
Probably both, but they're working. And you're hearing two middle children coming at you, presenting the first and only podcast...
About people like us. Right?
Outlaws. Outliers.
Outliers is the word. Outlaws would imply that we weren't constantly in fear of the law. Some might say, I've never shoplifted because I'm scared.
Yes. And others would say, you've had many run-ins with the cops.
Well, I have had some run-ins with the police. I suppose yeah. That is true.
But it's more a friendship run-in.
Yeah. I mean, I've never been, knock on wood, arrested.
Yes.
Okay.
And we can all knock on wood for that.
And so when I do get arrested.
Yes.
I'm ready.
Yes, you are.
I think I'm prepared.
I'm ready as well. Lose a little weight. Do a Teresa Giudice.
Oh my God. I mean? Just focus on my bod.
Yes. That's what I want to do. I want to slim down. I want to tone up.
Yes.
For those of you who, maybe you're an oldest child. Maybe you're youngest. Maybe you're one of eight. And if that's true, I'm very sorry.
One of the lucky ones. Some might say.
One of the luckies. But what is being a middle child to you, Chris?
I don't want to be dramatic, but
please be.
The first word that comes to mind, I would say, is forgotten.
Yes.
Desperate.
Yes.
pathetic.
Oh, sure. There's definitely.
For me, I mean, I've come to terms with it.
Yeah.
You know, and a lot of people instill that it's all in our brain.
Oh.
You know, that we're making up.
How dare they?
That being a middle child is different than being an oldest or youngest. Everyone has their plight. So if you are an older child, you're a younger child, we don't necessarily know.
We don't know.
How you were.
But I actually think I can now tell if I'm dating, who I'm dating.
Yeah.
Do you know what I'm saying? Like, I'm looking for a middle child to date. Why, you ask? Because when you date an oldest child, the guy is like, boop, bop. And when he was younger and he would paint and put like a circle on a piece of paper, his mom was like, you're a miracle. Did you do that?
My little miracle baby.
My little miracle. So any correction, they're like, what? Even though I'm like, what happened down there?
They're confident.
Confident.
Too confident.
See? Now, a youngest pretends they're a deer in headlight all the time. They're like, is this how it works?
Oh,
I don't know. Here's my pouty face.
Cross the street. Like, just
Cross
do it.
The street.
Stop waiting.
Stop it right now. But a middle child, literally, you don't have to say anything. And they're like, I'll prove my worth to you.
100%.
Let me just prove.
And you know, when you tell someone you're a middle child,
yeah.
For me, at least, everyone is always like, makes sense.
Yeah, I know.
You know?
I think a lot of my friends are middle children, and generally a lot of, I'll say it, great performers are middle children. Why? Because there was no attention at home. And so we sought out
attention.
Any attention we could get.
Yeah,
literally
yeah.
Any.
Did you watch the Taylor Swift documentary?
Of course I did.
When she's talking about how she just wants everyone to love her, and that's why she
girl, never rang so true.
That's why she does what she does. I'm like,
girl.
I get it.
Same. Yeah.
I get it.
Yeah. I would take a bullet for anyone.
Is she a middle child? I don't think she is.
I think she might be an only child, which is...
Well.
And that's a different podcast. And
that's
that one I don't...
Else.
That's something else entirely. And I can't even speak to that.
That'll
but
be a spinoff.
A spinoff
yeah, we'll
that we do.
Some whack job to do a
some
spinoff
whack
of that.
Job only.
No offense.
No. But yeah. You can tell an only child too, because they're like, that's mine. And you're like, oh, I thought we were sharing the appetizer. So they're like, that's mine.
Yeah.
That's my side.
And I'm like, oh,
so
that's the kale.
It's actually just decoration. They're like, that's my decoration.
So
please put it down.
You've eaten enough.
You've had enough today.
And I say,
something I want to like blow the lid off today. And I'll say blow the lid, because I think it could be something that shakes society to its core.
Which needs to be happening.
Happy to do.
You know?
Didn't know I would.
A mover and a shaker.
That's me. So, here's the thing. Home Alone.
Yes.
What a movie.
So, Home Alone and Home Alone 2 famously are my two favorite movies of all time.
And famously are top very top and near mine.
And Sister Act 2. Those are my top four movies of all time.
See, that's why we get along. But did you see the documentary on Home Alone?
No.
Well, I'm mad at you, so maybe you're not a real fan.
No, this is the reason why. Because I don't want to know what happened behind the scenes. Okay?
It's really cool, though.
Every time I see Macaulay Culkin pop up on my newsfeed, I'm like devastated.
Yeah, it's devastating now, but back then he was thriving. Point is, for those of you who don't know the plot, get out from under the rock that you live. Truly. But the point of the movie is the parents leave their son behind and he has to defend the house from two burglars. Okay, great.
Yeah, here's because the problem. He was being punished and sent to his room and they just forgot he was up there.
This is the problem. Macaulay Culkin in that movie is the youngest child.
I mean,
you would never forget the youngest. The middle, the plot would work. A middle child, especially out of like 87.
And it's five kids, right?
Five kids.
Five kids. The middle child of five. You're going to tell me anybody remembered that bitch? I don't fucking think so.
Who was she? Dime a dozen. Don't know who she was.
Libby,
she probably held a bird
like
one time. She had three lines. Eight of them were cut.
No, I think she was the, you're what the French call les incompetents. Remember that?
Yeah.
I think that's her.
Because it was Biffy? Biff? What was it? Biff?
Buzz.
Buzz.
Biff Loman. You're talking about Death of a Salesman.
I was actually talking about Back to the Future. Remember Biff?
Well, now I'm thinking maybe my Death of a Salesman reference is wrong.
And I also thought that. But
I'm not a novelist.
No, and we won't claim to be. But the big plot hole for that is you'd never forget the youngest. If it were a middle child, of course you would. The most forgettable is the middle child, even though some would say they're the loudest. My mom told me to be quiet. That was her favorite thing to tell me.
Do you know that I used to love to sing?
I didn't know that.
I wanted to be a singer.
Sing right now.
But I couldn't.
Wow. They said no singing?
I was annoying. You know, I was annoying.
See, that's such...
And I shared a room with my little brother. So like,
what a middle child. Here I am trying
to do my scales. And God forbid.
God forbid.
God forbid the topic isn't, you know...
So there are only two rooms in your house?
Dirt bikes.
Right.
That's a dirt bikes.
That's talk. A dirt bike reference.
So there, it was a three bedroom. So my older brother had his own room. Me and my younger brother shared. Yeah.
Sorry to hear that.
But I mean, in his defense, he does still hate me to this day. So
at least he picked a side and he stayed on it.
You know, he did. And we, now that we both are like drinkers.
Yeah.
We'll get along at the holidays because I'm like, let's just get drunk and
I love that for you guys.
Watch like Alaska PD on Travel Channel.
Yes. Growing up, we had, I guess, four bedrooms or whatever. But one of them when I was growing up was we had like a live-in nanny.
Wow.
I know. We did.
That's
wild. We were
in
Virginia. Who knows? It was just what we did. And when the live-in nanny left, I took the maid's quarters.
How long did the nanny live there?
10 years.
That's crazy.
Tsetse. I loved her.
Cece?
Tsetse. Tsetse.
And she paid attention to you.
She did. She saw me. And then as soon as I lost Tsetse, guess what? Game over.
And they were like, get...
They were like, Jesse in the maid's room.
Jesse, you're the chambermaid.
That's right. And I took my responsibilities seriously and I happily served my older brother and my younger sister.
You know, someone had to.
Someone had
to. Tsetse was gone.
And a lot of times when we talk about like our past together, we laugh and we laugh about sort of how there are a lot of like middle child moments, if you will, that you go through.
Yeah. Yeah. Temper tantrums. It could also be referred to.
I'm sure that's what my mother would label it.
Mm-hmm. I tried running away from home all of the time.
Me too.
For attention.
Of course.
Once I just went to stay in the shed in the backyard and it was a snowstorm. But I was like, you know what? This is my moment. It's a snowstorm. I won't have to worry about water.
How lucky.
Because of snow. And so I like tried to make an infiltration system. there was no food.
Oh.
So I lasted about an hour and a half. But the important thing is nobody came out to check because they knew I'd be back. You know?
I know. I did the same thing. I did like a whole presentation. So I like packed my bags and I was like, I'm leaving. And then I hid in the guest room under the bed. And this is what is a little sick about me. And I'm gonna label it as a middle child thing. But what I wanted to see and or hear is my mother like upset maybe cry.
Yeah.
And say, where is Jesse? Jesse, Jesse, my favorite Jesse. Where is my favorite Jesse?
And she said, Jesse's gone.
She said none of those things. She didn't notice or care.
Yeah.
Well, eventually, you know, I came sliding out from under the bed with like a rug burn with my stomach, trying to like get out and just be like, I'm really mad, Mom, because I've been here the whole time. OK. And she was like, yeah, we know. And thank she's you. Like,
who is that?
Who are you?
But I feel like middle child moments also, I mean, they'll anything now that I do.
Yeah.
I can blame it on that.
Absolutely.
It's like what I do.
It's my go-to.
I'm trying to think of like a good childhood moment.
Give me a middle child moment.
You know?
I know.
Once I carved into my father's dartboard downstairs in the basement.
Yeah.
I just like carved New York City into the dartboard a lot of times.
Oh.
When I was like 13. Because I wanted to go.
Oh.
To New York City.
Subliminal messaging.
And he was like, why did you do that?
Yeah.
And I was like, because I want to go to New York City by myself.
That's a great point. By yourself?
And he was like, why would you? No, absolutely not. But when I was 16, yeah, they did end up letting me go by myself for a day.
So you did it.
With a friend.
Wow.
But so I feel like that's something that
was a
was like a little crazy.
Yeah.
I guess some of it also could just be that I was a little crazy.
I don't think, well, I think sometimes being a middle child like makes you crazy, if you will.
Fair.
Because truly my brother, and this it could be a Jewish thing, and I hate to drop the Jew card, mm-hmm, but here I am. But they, my parents were really excited to have a boy.
Mm-hmm. Mine too.
So my brother is very much like the carpet is rolled out and they're so excited and, you know, nothing he does is wrong. And my parents are both the youngest and I have a little sister. And so they very much identify with her and sort of remember maybe their older siblings with them. And I feel crazy a lot of the time whenever I'm home, whenever like they're rolling out the carpet and then hugging my sister. And then they're like, Jesse, could you put the carpet away? And I'm like, yeah. Oh, nothing for little old me. And they're like, don't do this. My dad, I don't think my dad lets me say the word middle child anymore, which I think is insane because it's my anthem.
Yeah.
But he gets mad. But the thing is, I have proven many a time that middle child moment. This was one of the moments that I was so, remember Furbies?
Yes.
Okay, Furbies. Like,
I never had one, but I remember.
They were huge and no one knows why. And they were very frightening, yeah, but very exciting. And so at least where I was from around Hanukkah, Christmas, you wanted to get a Furby, but there was like a shortage, which you got, you know, we're missing that nowadays.
You know,
Amazon.
We haven't had a good toy.
A good toy and a good, and then that toy has a shortage and people, yeah, are selling it on eBay for $400. That's what I want to see, yeah, again. Yes. I want to see that for the youth.
Me too.
I want to see that for everybody because that makes the toy,
same,
priceless.
We need a new toy. We also need like a new OJ Simpson trial.
Yes, we do.
Do you know what I mean? There, yes, hasn't been anything like gripping.
No.
Like a Casey Anthony kind of.
We're overdue.
Case.
I want a lovable murderer in my newsfeed.
I mean, come on. I gotta, you know, be, well, I gotta be paying it, attention to something.
Exactly. So there isn't a Furby, but that was the thing, was the Furby. And I was like, I want a Furby. Okay. I wanted a Furby. My sister was way younger, so she, I don't remember. And my brother wanted, like, you know, he was into wrestling figure. Remember Homies? There were like these little figurines of they were called Homies. I'm sure it's racist now.
Yeah.
Or just like insane. It was like Street Fighter. I don't, really small. Anyhow, he wanted Homies. Got it. Great. So my dad on Hanukkah, when I unwrapped my present, I got a Furby.
Oh my God.
And within, some would say 5 minutes, my dad was like, it was buy one, you could get two. So Danny, I got you one too.
Mm-hmm.
And I had a middle child moment.
Because you wanted both.
No, I didn't even want both. I just wanted to be special.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't even want the Furby. And now the thing I wanted, the shortage,
mm-hmm,
was gone. The thing that I got that was so special, my brother now literally had the same thing.
Supply
and his homies. Supply and demand.
So he had two.
He had two.
The homies
just a bonus.
Gonna have a sex party with a Furby.
Absolutely. And I think they did.
I'm sure.
Sick. And Furbies, they were like, remember when they were like their spy devices?
Yes.
That was a weird
like
theory.
Amazon yes. Homes Now or whatever they're called. Alexis.
Oh, yeah.
Christmas.
But do you know what I mean by that?
Oh, I know exactly what you mean.
Doesn't that feel like the worst thing that could happen to a child?
I mean, I'm sure there's worse things, but it's for my life, yeah.
Yeah, and the amount of time I'm telling you, the amount of time that I felt like I was the queen of the world and there was a crown on my head and a cape and I had one of the supply and demand, lowest of the totem pole, a Furby that could talk and could move and could be my best friend. Mm. And then within seconds, there were two.
In 5 minutes. 5 minutes to wear the crown.
5 minutes.
I wanted for Christmas. So also being the only gay one.
You were the only
that
gay?
That was something.
That's something special.
And,
so,
and my, I had no sisters and my mom had all brothers and my dad had all brothers.
That's rough.
So there was not a ton of feminine energy.
Yeah.
Around.
When did you come out?
I was 21.
Family. Oh, okay.
So late.
Right.
And was it in an Outback Steakhouse? Yes, it was. Was the Outback Steakhouse
over
in
a Bloomin' Onion?
Yes, it was.
Okay.
Did I cry? You know I did.
Oh, of course.
But 1 year I wanted, so like obviously I wanted dolls and shit, but like I couldn't.
Yeah, you couldn't.
As for that, I didn't have sisters to steal it from.
Right.
I didn't have anything. So I was left to my own devices. And so I would like find ways around it. Like the Power Rangers, there was two female Power Rangers, the pink and the yellow one.
Yes, of course.
Both girls. So we would get like Power Ranger sets. And then I would, no, none of the other boys want it to be the girl ones, so I would wait and be like, I guess I'll take the girls.
Yeah.
But then 1 year, my mom, God bless her, got me like a ranch set.
Ooh.
That I wanted. So it had some townspeople.
Love that.
It was like little wax people and horses.
Horses!
And like little town things.
Wow.
It was very exciting. But then my brothers and their friends, my brothers are like very close, still are today.
To each other?
Yes.
Oh.
Always have been.
Exciting.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh.
So I was excited about this ranch set. But then they were like, we all know why you wanted that. Because it's basically like playing with dolls. And so then to prove that I didn't want to play with dolls, I used scissors and cut off the heads of all the townspeople.
No, you sack. You.
And then my parents saw that.
Decapitated.
And we're like, oh my God.
Therapy.
He's
here
showing
we come.
Early signs of being a serial killer.
Is that true?
That is a sign.
Is it cutting off dolls' heads?
Well,
I'm sure.
I can imagine.
That's very Andy and Toy Story, I believe.
But I mean, also, it's I think it's worse when it's like animals and stuff.
Well, of course. A living thing?
You know?
Sure. I think it's
so,
worse
like,
they
like,
say if it has a heartbeat.
Yeah, like all, they say. I don't know. Who's to say? I'm not a doctor.
A life is a life is a life,
not
if
a
you
therapist.
Ask me. Wow.
So I felt really guilty about doing that.
Oh.
But my biggest middle child moment was also probably when I was with my brothers. And my older brother is like 3 years older than me. So I was like 12. And he was basically telling me how all of his friends thought I was gay.
Oh.
And then we were waiting for my mom to get her hair cut at Fantastic Sam's. And I, to distract, stuffed my finger in the cigarette lighter in the car.
Distract from what?
From the conversation.
Because
I didn't want to talk about it. So I shoved my finger in the cigarette lighter, not realizing that it would like whatever. And it just burnt the rings into my finger.
You stuck your finger in.
You know, like remember car cigarette lighters?
Yeah. And it just burns your finger?
No, I like took it out and then put my finger in the thing.
Oh my God.
And it like burnt rings in my finger. And then I was like, oh my God. And then I was embarrassed that I had burnt myself.
Oh my gosh.
But then in that moment, my mom came out from getting her hair cut and she's like, what smells like it's burning?
Oh my gosh.
And it was
gosh.
My flesh. So then my older brother was like, it's Chris's flesh. Because he just shoved his fucking finger into the cigarette lighter. And my mom was like, why would you ever do that? And I was like, I just wanted to see if it
what
worked.
What it felt like to feel. Wow.
So that for me was a moment.
That is a middle child moment. You want to know something ironic about growing up? I feel like this was also me. I don't know what this was, but my parents, I guess my mom has curly hair, but she normally had it short, so you couldn't really tell.
Mm-hmm.
And my dad had straight slash balding hair. Okay, great. Mm-hmm. My brother and my sister have straight hair.
Okay.
And big brown eyes. Okay. My parents both have brown eyes.
Okay.
I have curly hair and blue eyes.
Wow.
And so I also remember like looking different. I mean, not only did I look like I ate two of my brothers, and he was older. So people would be like, oh, your little brother. And I'd be like, nope, incorrect. I'm just a foot taller and 80 pounds heavier. My dad, one time we were at the beach. This is a story that you know, when you're scarred for life.
Yeah.
This was one. So we were at the beach and my dad would do the thing, you know, where they throw you.
Yes.
So my dad threw my brother and it was ha ha ha.
I have a horrifying story just like this. Then my
dad threw my sister. Ha ha. And then my dad was like, I was like, me too. As a middle child would. Me too. My turn. And my dad picks me up. And I mean, I think I heard a sound that sounded like as I launched. And then my dad afterwards just went out of the water, and some would say he just pulled his neck out.
Okay.
Couldn't move his neck the rest of the trip. He was like, no more throwing Jesse, okay, is what we took away from it. And I went, I hadn't even learned body negativity yet, but I said, hey, big girl, look in the mirror and ask yourself, what happening to you? What up?
Well, I once, my uncles were at my house. We were having a family barbecue.
Love a BBQ.
And they were folding up a big blanket. And yeah. I don't remember why.
Why not?
Because even now I'm like, why were my uncles folding a giant blanket in my backyard?
Yeah.
And my dad. And so they're like folding the blanket. But I had seen some movies where like a bunch of people stand around with a blanket and then a kid is in the middle and they like toss him up.
Oh, yeah.
Remember?
I do remember.
So I came running.
Yes.
And jumped into the center of the blanket that they were folding. Yeah. And it simply just tore out of all of their hands.
Mm-hmm.
And then I knocked the wind out of myself.
Oh, God.
And so then I was like, and then my dad was like, why would you ever do that?
Mm.
And so nobody felt sorry for me that I had knocked the wind out of myself and embarrassed me. They were like, why would you ever do that?
Oh.
So that moment is pretty burnt into my brain.
That is scarring.
And I haven't done it since.
Well,
to be fair, that same year, I also jumped off of out of a tree with an umbrella.
Ooh.
To like Mary Poppins. And it obviously just got a heavy wind and blew inside out. And I knocked the wind out of myself again. So.
That's very funny to me.
Yeah. Hurt myself a lot as a child. I tried skateboarding, and the very first time I stepped on, I fell off, broke my arm in three places, blacked out because I hit the cement so hard, it had rocks in my face.
Ooh.
But yeah, so that...
That's humbling. That is humble.
That was humbling for me.
I was... my brother was very smart, which we're happy for him. Mm. Like, school was really easy for him.
Mm.
And my mom is very, very smart. My mom is very book smart, if you will. It's like, went to Cornell, was pre-med, like just is very, very smart. And my dad is also very smart, but he, I think, is dyslexic too. So, and I'm dyslexic. My sister isn't. But my brother was so good in school. And then I come along and I'm having a lot of trouble and can't read. And so my brother would like go to theater camps over the summer and I would go to reading camps.
Okay.
Which are the opposite of fun.
Yeah, some might say you would have thrived in a theater camp environment.
Some would say. And I definitely was a very good memorizer because they didn't know I couldn't read till second grade because in first grade I just would memorize it and pretend to read it.
Oh, that's really smart.
Like a genius. I was a genius.
That's like a photographic memory.
It almost did. It's auditory though because I didn't visual it. But yeah, it was like
yeah.
But yeah, so that was always, I just remember feeling so different than my brother when it came to that type of stuff.
Yeah. Both my brothers are smart as well. and my high school had like the Regents program, which is like the New York State, like you have to do that. And then there's the Advanced Regents.
Mm.
And then there was IRP. or IRP, as some people called it, Integrated Regions Program. And I'll leave it up to you to what the kids were calling it. It's the slow class.
Oh, no.
So they come in eighth grade. They explain to us this is the three things. You're being recommended by a teacher for whatever program.
Oh, God.
And so obviously everyone's like not really caring because not a lot of people get an IRP, just the stupid kids.
And I won't say stupid, and I refuse to say that. And I think it's those that learn differently.
Okay, well, those that learn differently. And so I get home. My friend calls me. She's crying hysterically. She's like, I got fucking IRP. But I'm like, of course you did. Because she was never like the brightest bulb in the tanning bed when it came to school.
Sure.
And then like my best friend was in advance, whatever. Mm. And I'm like, I'll be right in the middle.
Yeah.
Perfect. I open the letter. I was also recommended to be an IRP.
Yeah.
So that was humbling because my brother was like in advanced everything, but like didn't really do his homework because he didn't care.
Have to, sure.
And I was struggling to stay afloat.
Yeah.
I'm worried about gym class.
Totally.
You know, there was a lot of concerns.
Yeah.
But I did claw my way out of IRP.
Oh.
But then when I was in 11th grade, I was like in a bunch of 10th grader classes. So everyone thought I had failed.
Oh, God.
And the high school theater despised me. But that...
Why?
I have no fucking idea, but let me tell you something. I will not rest until I shut down every high school theater program in this country.
I'm out for the arts. I'll get them all.
I am out for my high schools.
Good for you.
I remember auditioning, singing Otis Redding's Sitting on the Dock of the Bay.
Ooh, I bet that was beautiful.
To be in Fame, because I didn't want people to think I was gay into a gay song.
Of course.
and the director, I'm using air quotes.
Yeah.
And the assistant director, also air quotes, because she was a high school senior.
Yeah.
The director was like a 74-year-old man. We're just kikiing the whole time, chatting through my whole audition.
How fucking dare they?
And I didn't get in. 165 people got in.
Oh my.
200 auditioned. 165 got in. 20 on the alternate list. And then there's fat Chris staring at the wall.
Pretending that you sobbing. Dropped something. Oh no. Let me tell you about my high school theater experience. So my brother's a year older. When he was a freshman, he got to be like literally one of the leads. And Who Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest.
Ugh.
My parents were like, look at our son. And I was like, I'll die here. But then, little Jesse came, freshman Jesse. And we did the show Peter Pan. Have you heard of it?
Vaguely.
Vaguely. It's a wonderful classic about a boy who won't grow up.
Well.
He flies.
Do they ever. Got him.
Got him again. Flies to Neverland. There's like three female parts. Anyhow, long story short, there is a picture that depicts my literal life. I feel very much Ashley Simpson with Jessica Simpson. Mm. My brother is Peter Pan, flying above me as I am a nameless lost boy.
They had him flying in high school.
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
Flying, Chris, above me.
And you were a lost boy.
A nameless lost boy.
Okay.
A lineless, nameless lost boy. Mm. Okay. My family, all the extended family is there. And I did great too.
You did. I'm sure you did.
My brother is Peter Pan. Like that was such a...
humbling.
Such a humbling. But also I felt like, wow. Will I ever be seen?
Yeah. Well, and that's how we're here.
That is how we're here. And we're still not seen, but we are heard.
My last little theater story, the costume department. So I end up getting in for 10th grade.
Mazel. What show?
Fame.
Hell, oh.
Yeah.
Wait, I thought you did. Oh, you.
Or was it? No, it was not Fame. It was Footloose.
Hello.
Hello.
Footloose.
Fame. There was three. Anything Goes, I didn't get in. Whatever. Oh. So it was Footloose.
Here we are.
And I had met Kevin Bacon, so I felt like I was...
6 degrees, baby. 6 degrees.
I felt like I was...
I love that
for the role. So they... Yeah. I made the chorus.
Wow, mazel.
And
someone's
so then they
sing.
Split. They split it from, the teenagers of Footloose.
Oh.
Was half the chorus. Or some might say 85%. And then the 15% were the adults. So, like, the people that are mad that dancing's happening. So, old Chris is sent to be an adult.
Yeah. Oh.
Uh-huh. And the costume department, who was sophomores in high school.
Yeah.
Do my measurements, whatever. Come back with the clothes they got me for Salvation Army. Hand me my pants.
Okay.
So let me tell you, today I have a size 40 waist is the jean I wear.
Okay.
And my biggest in high school, I was wearing like a 44. They give me these pants. It's a size 56 inch waist. And I was like, these are too big.
Too big.
And they were like, well, it's the biggest ones they had. It was all we could find. And I was like,
okay.
Well, they're just like,
what should I?
Who died in these pants yeah. from the Salvation Army?
Ugh.
And so they're like, well, just belt it. So I put on the pants and I have to like try on the outfit and then come out to show them.
Ugh.
Step, the pants immediately fall. I
no.
keep walking with my feet, my ankles, I trip over it and I fall before them. So they just got me a tighter belt.
Oh, they...
Mm-hmm. But did I do any dancing? No, we weren't allowed to do any dancing. And I had about three was my part in Footloose. But speaking of acting,
yeah,
I think we should move on to our middle child of the day.
Let's move on to the middle, because those were some sad moments. And let's now celebrate, if you will, the middle child of the day.
Thriving.
Who is thriving.
I mean, some people hate her. The whole world, I think.
Well, that's a
middle
child.
They go back and forth.
Yeah, and that's okay. She's got to prove herself over and over again.
And she has.
And she really
has. She's an Academy Award winning actress.
Winning.
Okay?
Yes.
Her name?
You ask?
Anne Hathaway.
Oh, I've heard of
her. Have you heard of her?
I have heard of her.
She was in...
Princess Diaries.
Les Mis.
Les Miserables.
A Devil Wears Prada.
Yes.
Hello. Across from Meryl Streep.
Rebecca's Wedding or Someone's Wedding.
I don't think it was Rebecca's. It was...
Someone's...
Rachel's Wedding?
Rachel's Wedding.
Yeah. Rachel was getting married. Anne?
Not Anne.
Anne was getting out of rehab.
That's
I believe
right.
is what that movie is about.
Anne was getting out of rehab. And you know what? It fit.
It fit. But she's really thrived.
She has thrived. And you know... She sort of perfectly depicts a middle child for me in the sense of...
And in the sense of society, really.
Society.
Yeah.
I mean, for some reason, we have it out for this woman who just wants to do a good job and to be liked.
Yeah, she didn't book herself. You know what? Everyone's like, she won an Oscar for fucking 17 minutes in Les Mis. Blame the Academy.
Blame the Academy. Also, the haircut.
I was just going to say the haircut.
The haircut, the sacrifice she made for that haircut and for that scene, to me, I would want an award.
I mean, a one shot.
One shot, a one take. And I've tried this before. To cry and sing at the same time is very difficult.
Well, I have to.
You can?
Well, it just happens.
See, when I cry, the first thing that happens is my throat closes. So I actually don't think I could cry and sing. Not if it was like real tears. I guess if they were fake tears, yeah. I could. But when I cry, my throat is the first to go. First to go.
If I totally, when I'm about to cry, I'm like, if I even open my mouth, I'm going to start sobbing.
Right.
You know.
So how do you sing and sob? To sing and sob. If you can sing and sob, you're a middle child.
Oh, my God. I'm going to take an acting class.
Are you?
To learn how to sing and sob.
Yeah, I should too, because it's really quite a gift. But Anne is someone that gives and gives. And if Anne told me that, you know, she even got into acting because her mom wasn't paying attention, I'd believe her.
Oh, totally. She definitely auditioned for The Princess Diaries because her mom, like, forgot.
Totally.
To pick her up from school.
A hundo pig.
And she was, like, walking by and saw the audition.
And someone was like...
Julie Andrews was walking by and said, who's that homely girl?
Who's that homely? And they were like, homely? That's what we're looking for. Bring
She's
her
perfect.
In.
She's perfect.
She's perfect. Did you hear how she got the part is the director's daughter? Like, he had it down to a few and he asked, like, whose face was the nicest or something? Like...
What?
Not in a weird way, but like who is a nice face? Princess face? I'm leaving.
The
but
director's daughter chose Anne?
Yeah.
I wonder who else was in the running.
I do too. But also I don't because it was so perfect for her.
That's how, like, Gabrielle Sidibe in Precious.
Yeah.
She, like, saw a casting notice and skipped school.
My kind of girl.
And just went and auditioned and then got a call back the next day and skipped school again.
Worth it.
And then found out that day she got it.
No.
Yeah. Yeah. I bet she's a fucking middle child.
I bet. And her parents were like, wait, what happened? I've missed everything in your life so far.
Yeah. And they're like, oh my God, we forgot about Gabby.
Oh, Gabby.
And they remember her now.
Oh yeah, they do.
Because she's making money.
Because homegirl's raking it in and we're literally thrilled for her.
I am happy for Anne.
Me too. I think we should celebrate her.
Do you know who I just watched in a movie and it devastated me?
What?
Brittany. Who's the one that died?
Snow?
No, she's still alive.
Oh, sorry. Brittany Murphy.
Murphy.
Yeah.
So I was watching a movie, naturally.
Is she a middle child? She could
be.
She
probably
not. Yeah.
So I'm at home. You know, I haven't been dating a lot.
Why?
Oh, you know me.
Yeah.
I'm just such a fiend.
Waiting for the one.
Such a fiend for the dick. I just love getting out there and having the sex.
It's hard to date. And I think it's especially hard to date with layers.
Yeah. Well, I'm like, you got to know how crazy I am. I warn people how crazy I am. But then when I do something crazy, they're like, what the fuck? And I'm like, I told you this.
You're not crazy.
Well, I do crazy things sometimes.
When's the last date?
Oh, what's today?
Today's a Friday.
So spring of like 2015.
Okay. That's not true.
I would say no, but well over a year.
It's been a while, yeah.
Well over a year.
You're not on the apps.
I am.
But you're not active.
I'm not as active as I could be, but I try, but it's also like and dating in the gay world is like completely different.
That's
beast.
True. Yeah.
Because I'm very sensitive. Like, I'm like, no, you can't just fuck me and leave.
Yeah, I don't like that in general.
But like in gay world, that's a huge component. Like people just have sex all the time. My friends go to sex parties.
Can I tell you something?
Where you get like blankets or like you're covered and you don't see and you just get like have sex with like 20 people.
What do you mean you don't see? You're
like you want to do that. So you go, there'll be like a sheet up. So all the bottoms are under a sheet and then all the tops go around.
What?
Yeah. And they put numbers on their butts and then they vote for the best bottom.
You have to be kidding me.
I'm not kidding. That's real.
This is the thing
about... Can you imagine anything worse?
I can't. I really can't. Because it feels like I'm back in middle school playing dodgeball, but about my body. And it's like, who do you want on my team? But it's about my butt.
It's insane. My friend was saying, so he's there. He's like in the line of bottoms. And so the bottoms are all like, chatting with each other.
Oh, sure. Why not?
While getting, you know, penetrated.
Penetrated.
And they would be like, have fun with the next one. Ha ha.
Oh, my God.
But my friend was excited because he won best bottom.
Oh, well, congrats.
And they gave him a trophy.
Friend. No.
They gave him a trophy and they posted his butt picture on their Twitter.
Well, I don't think I would do well at a sex party for many reasons. First of all, if I'm going to have sex at a party with people, I'd like to know everyone's name. I'd like to know where they're from. I'd like to know their deepest, darkest secrets.
How am I
going to
read the name tags if I'm face down ass up?
I can't do that. I also don't want to be really... Some would say my body is a privilege and also my biggest curse. And so therefore... I can't be given walk-in show. I can't. If anyone whispered even where is the bathroom, I'd be like, what did you say about me? Say it to everybody. Oh, go ahead.
Like, oh, big fat Chris. Oh, yeah. Sorry. Sorry to ruin your idea of the perfect sex party. And they're like, what? I'm just here to deliver the food.
What?
I'm like, the food. Oh, right to me. I see. Just bring me the pepperoni pizzas. I'm not going to be fucking anybody tonight. Give me the extra garlic. Who cares if my breast smells?
Give me a big old garlic knot and I'll really knot her up.
Oh, I could go for a garlic knot.
That would be fun. But yeah, that would be my biggest fear with it is just people like... And what I've seen of gay dating sites, mm-hmm. It's very negative. Like,
oh yeah,
it would be like straight guys being like, no saggy tits.
No, they'll literally put in the no fats, no femmes, and there I'm sitting with my little acrylic nails eating a bag of Lay's And I'm like, well.
You think he's talking about me?
I guess he could get to know me.
If he got to know me, I always say that. That's my biggest kryptonite.
If he got to know me, he would love me. That's also how I feel about most famous people.
Yeah. Don't you also feel like sometimes myself, I'm always like, but the best thing about me is my personality. So once they know that, it's like game changer. Yeah, but yeah. You know what the thing is? People normally don't stay for the personality. No. People normally, they're not there for it.
They're not swiping right on my personality.
They're certainly not.
You want a joke? Here's a joke.
Yeah.
Just look at my whole life's a joke, you know?
Don't say that. Not about my friend, please.
Oh, my God.
I not about that. My friend. Don't you say that. We're at my apartment right now, and there are affirmations over my apartment.
I have them around my apartment as well.
They're good. They really help me. Sometimes it is humiliating if I do have guests over for the first time and I forget, and they're like, oh, everything you touch is gold. And I'm like, oh, what?
Sometimes I get like in these really dramatic moods.
Yeah.
Where I'm like in my head making. Have you ever seen La Vie en Rose?
No.
Beautiful movie about Edith Piaf's life story.
What a time.
And Marion Cotillard like won the Oscar for it. But her husband dies on a plane, which is not a spoiler because it happened to Edith Piaf in real life.
I see.
And so she like makes this scene. It's like 7 minutes and she's screaming his name and like throwing things around the house.
Love that.
And it's brilliant. But that's kind of what I channel.
Yes.
For no real reason at all. But sometimes I'll like do that and then I'll like aggressively like tear down the affirmation.
Oh dear.
Because I think I'm in a movie.
And honestly, a movie we might be in. I'll say that.
And then I'll put up another one.
Good for you.
You know?
Just replace it with another
one. It can come down, a new one has to go up.
Good. I like that.
But yes. So I don't know where I'm going with this other than I'm dramatic.
Well, you're dramatic, which I like, but then dating sometimes can bring that out in you. Is that?
Oh, yeah. I think because I'm so, like, if I meet someone and then I feel that connection and I start to like them, run for the hills.
No.
For them. Because I'm like.
Why?
I just get very, I'm also a very jealous person.
Okay.
And I assume they're going to reject me. So then as soon as I see any inkling, I like. Kind of turn on the crazy. Like sometimes I feel like I give them as much crazy as I can to be like, get out of here now.
Yeah.
You know?
And some could say that could be that comedy vibe, that comedic self-sabotaging, which we all have.
Yeah.
And sometimes dating, I will say, will be the thing that will spiral me into, oh, I don't know. Just self, like so much doubt and stuff.
Yeah. Well, that's why I'm like, I'm at a place now.
Yeah.
I'm like, I just don't. I get distracted if I'm like, if I like someone.
True.
And I got to stay on.
Now I know your type 100%
straight and
too.
Almost dead. Like no real personality.
No.
I guess,
your type is like, I would describe as nebbish.
You love that.
I love the word nebbish.
But I agree.
But it is true. So you love a nebbish.
Which I think you should explain. I don't think many people know that.
Nebbish means. He's the type of guy that wears a slim-fitting pant and a nice coat. But you
a nice
could,
crew neck sweater.
Yes, but if you sneeze a little too hard, he could blow away. He's very light.
He could fix your computer, though.
Oh, but he can fix your computer. And he's the type that you're like, did you say something? And he's like, what? No. Very scary.
Yes, yes. Like a nice tech guy.
Yes. You know what? It's a nice.
Give me a software engineer.
Guess what? I'm going to find you a software engineer.
Like a nice. Yeah, that.
That's shy. He's going to be so shy around you.
That says things like, I don't know how you get up on stage in front of people. Nothing makes me wetter than somebody that says, I don't know how you get up on stage. Or if somebody calls me a star. Oh, my God.
Well, I mean, you might as well pick out the jewels now.
Fill me up.
Tip me over and pour me out. I'm a little teacup.
Literally. I'm like. Get me pregnant.
Get me preggo.
You know? And then he, obviously, because of the type of person he is, gets scared. And then he'll head
nebbish?
For the hills.
Well, you need the right nebbish who's ready to rock.
Yeah. Who's like, I need my foil, you know?
You know what? He's going to keep telling me, Jesse, I'm not, like, he's so shiny and bright. Why does he like me?
That's exactly what I want.
And then I'll say, hey, Neb, come here. He really likes you. So just stay in the game. Okay. Just stay in the game.
And he like makes me presents.
Yes.
Like
dinner.
You know, in Sister Act, I've always wanted a guy to do this for me.
Buy you a mink
coat. And I talk about it. Literally that. Yes, I do. I want the fucking mink coat from
Sister
Act. Me too.
Purple. Absolutely. Oh, stunning.
He gave me his wife's fur coat.
Yeah.
Oh, God. Heartbreaking.
I know.
I think I'm going to do that tonight. Watch Sister Act.
I love that for you.
Happy Friday.
Happy Friday.
Have a nice bottle of wine and watch a classic 1994 Whoopi.
Some would say the best.
But you remember the alarm clock when she first goes to Sister Act? She's like in the convent.
Yes.
And Sister Mary Robert brings her.
Yes.
The like, time go to bed, you sleepyhead, or whatever.
Yeah.
I want someone to buy me that fucking alarm clock, but I don't think it exists. So, like, he has to make it.
Literally noted. And guess what's going to pop out one day?
The fucking alarm clock.
Your engagement ring.
Oh, my God. Can you imagine?
Yes.
So, I need you, if I'm ever in a serious relationship.
When you're in a serious relationship.
You need to tell him that that's what he needs to.
Done and
get
done.
Get for me.
Of course. And he'll whittle it out of wood. I'll be like, no, you don't have to do that. He's like, I do.
And I'll be like, think a guy that whittles? Come on.
I know. I'm looking
you know
for
who
a whittler.
Whittles both my brothers whittle.
Don't say that.
They're both good woodworkers.
That's my kryptonite.
I come from a long line of woodworkers. My grandfather was the mayor of our town and also made all of the furniture in my like childhood bedroom and stuff.
What?
Yeah.
Oh, freaking cool. I really want a man who... This is my dream. I'll tell you it. This is my wet dream. I'm at a craft fair because I'm classy.
Of course.
Okay. I'm very classy. I'm looking around. He's holding my hand or he wants to. And I'm like, stop. All right, you're embarrassing me. You're embarrassing me. Let me just walk. But then I'm like, look at that vase. I love it. And then he says, don't buy it, Jesse. I can whittle that for you.
Or he says, don't buy it. We'll get a different one. And then he like presents it to you like at Christmas or at a holiday soon after.
Yes.
Months after. And you're like, what you said? And he's like, I know I can whittle you anything, but I can't whittle you this diamond.
And then I say, what are you saying?
And he says, this has been the best 2 months of my life.
Yeah.
I want you to be Mrs. Ben Platt. That's what he says to me, at least. And I say, okay.
Where's the dotted line for me to sign?
I'll sign a prenup. I don't care.
I'll sign a prenup. I've never been afraid of a prenup.
Me either, you know? Because I'll find a loophole.
Absolutely.
I will take everything. Let's be clear about that. I'll take all your little tech stuff.
Yeah. I'll take it to Chinatown.
I'll sell it. Do you have any college embarrassing story?
Always. College was the most humiliating at all times.
I didn't get into any colleges.
What?
And then I had to go to community college for a year and then I transferred.
Oh, wow.
And I fell out of a cab my first semester twice because of snow and split my pants both times.
No.
Yeah. So.
What do you mean?
Like the side of the cab was wet and so then my shoe hit it and then I like fell and then it split my pants.
Oh, my God.
From bottom to top.
From the tip to the top.
Clit to tit.
Wow, that
also, is... Also, when I was in the closet, there was a lot of, like, you know...
Yeah.
I was trying to hide a lot of things.
Sure, that makes complete and total sense.
You know? And so, did I want to be, like, listening to Celine Dion? Yes, of course I did.
Of course.
Did I walk to buy a Donna Summer CD when I was 13 through the woods for 2 miles? And then when I got there, they didn't have it.
Stop.
And I asked the store clerk where the Donna Summer hits were. And this was in like 2002.
Yeah.
And they were like, we have Jessica Simpson.
Oh.
And I said, okay.
Consolation
prize. I did end up buying a Jessica Simpson album.
Just as fun. But not the same.
But yeah, I could only listen to it when no one was home because I was embarrassed I was listening to Jessica Simpson because then my brothers would have like thought I was gay.
And
they would have been wrong, obviously.
Oh, they would have been wrong. They would have eaten their words, if you will. Yeah.
And that's why now I'm so masculine.
I love that. I think one of the most embarrassing stories for me in college was sophomore year. I get to school. I'm in this like co-ed dorm. Maybe you've heard of it. Maybe you've heard of it. And the guys across the hall like came over, and one of them was so cute. I later find out he was a Republican, so it would have never worked. But didn't know that at the time. I was like, he's really cute. He's tall. He's strong.
And that's what we're looking for.
I was looking for it. He had like kind of a buzz cut, and I was like, oh, he's tough and I'm weak. How fun. Yeah.
Oh, I like feelings. I want to feel safe.
I always want to feel safe and weak.
Like if I hear a sound in the other room, needs to go check
it. I want him, like when I go, he's already two steps there.
Yeah.
He's like on his
way. Exactly. Don't get me wrong. I can check it and I'll deal with it and I'll kill someone. I don't give a fuck. But that's because I have to.
Exactly. I want you to
I don't
want to
have to.
No.
I want you to be like, I know you can do it, but I got it.
Well, please let me do it.
And I'm going to get you, like, I'm going to make you a quick snack.
Do you want a snack?
While I'm there.
Would love that.
And I'm like,
oh, I love you.
Or in like the morning, he's like, I got bagels, but they didn't have the good cream cheese. So I went across town and got you the good cream cheese.
He's like, sorry, that took a little bit. And you're like, fine,
I'm like,
guess.
It's okay. And then he's like, and then I got you the coffee from the other place. But why don't you get up and get dressed? Because we're going to Paris. And I'm like, we are? And he's like, yeah, I bought us a place.
I didn't tell you that.
And I was like, oh my God.
I do love you.
And he's like, I just made another million. For my
or
tech.
Should I say, we made another million.
And I say, thank you, babe.
Thank you, baby. Anyhow, so this guy, I meet him. It was, some would say, sparks. Okay. He was like, come to this party with us. And I was like, okay. So we go to this party. We're at this party. I'll never forget this line that he said. And it's not even that much of a line as much as a feeling I felt. But we were talking at this party and he was like, had to lean down to hear me. Cause once again, he's so tall. I mean, he was probably 6'2", but whatever. It was tall for me. I loved it. And so he said, let me get down to Jesse level. Which I was like, I've never been wetter in my
life. He said that?
Yeah.
Oh, God.
Oh! So that night we walked back together because once again, we live across the hall. And we made out in the courtyard. And I'm what I like to call a project dater. So I go 0 to 60 and I was like, well, I'm having his children. I'm in love with him.
Oh, same.
And who knew that I guess I'll be a Republican.
I pretty much have planned my wedding to people before I've even spoken to them.
Yeah. And that's a problem and something I'm trying to change. But then he lived across the hall. So I was like nervous at all times. Like whenever I'd like go to the bathroom, I'd be like,
put on makeup.
It was horrible, but I did do it. And then the next night, my friends were like, I don't even know how it came up, but I was like, I really like him, which once again, too soon to say that, but I did. Mm. And they were like, Jesse, you have to give him a blowjob. That was the conclusion we came to. And I was like,
honestly,
you're right.
That's the same advice I'd give you today.
Well, really?
No.
No, fuck blowjobs.
But I would do it.
Okay.
You know what I mean? Like, I'm quick to give it. I'm like, here we go.
Here we go. Get down on your knees. Pray for forgiveness. But so I was like, you're right. I have to give a blowjob. I was a sophomore in college. I'd never given a blowjob. Just kind of skipped it, if you know what I mean.
Well, yeah. I mean,
it scared
me.
I'm
very sexually late. I'm
late. So I just sort of was like, boop, over it. And I was nervous. So I went to this party and decided, what is a better way to get myself orally prepared than to get trashed? To just
totally
pour liquid down.
That's also how I have sex still.
Blackout.
People talk about having sex in the morning. I'm like, that's not healthy. You're getting drunk in the morning?
Yeah, you're gonna. No, I shoot up meth. Oh, sorry,
got
didn't get it.
Cool.
So I'm like now trashed. I'm like, I know what I'll do. I'll go back. I'll knock on his door and find him. Okay, so ready? I get back. I'm trashed. He stayed in to like work,
is
so you know when one person is, and so in the
been
other.
There.
Then there. Okay, great. So then I'm like, you gotta come over. You like, I wanna show you something or something dumb. Like, who knows? Because remember,
I want
I'm
you to
trash.
Look at my tonsils.
I want you to look at my tonsils. So I go in my room, who I had a roommate, and I guess she was with a guy, so I couldn't go in my room. So I go in my roommate's room, which caution to the wind. Yeah. But I was on a mission. Now, as I am kissing. And I said, Jesse, you do this.
You can do this.
And you do this, and you do this like you've done it many times. You're the blowjob queen.
Yeah.
The pump up I needed. I'm like, girl, you got this. Go slow and go low. So I'm like, boop, boop, bop, bop, bop. He's like sober, so I forget what he's saying. You know, like, you don't have to do, or I don't remember even. And I said, shh.
Got that.
I'm the blowjob queen. And then my roommates are pounding on the door. Yeah. Like, they start pounding on the door with, like, these other friends. And they're like, he's sober. She's drunk. Like, they make it this, they, like, so I had not even maybe unbuttoned a button, like his top button on his shirt. Yeah. I had it.
Your friends were being good friends.
They were.
But
even though, no, those were the friends that also told me to do it. And then I guess they told other people sobered up and were like, wait, he's sober? And so everything changed. Even though for me to give a blowjob, it's about a 25-minute warm-up.
Yeah. And then I'm there for like a minute and a half.
I'm like, is it over? So I had done nothing. And then they come in and it becomes this huge deal. I was humiliated is how I felt. Mm. And the next day when I was like, I have to repair things with my husband. He was like, let's just not do this. And I was like, are we breaking up? Betrothed?
Are you mad at me?
Are you mad? You haven't even seen the blowjob queen in action, sir.
So
it was like a blip in time, but I just remember being like, I'm never listening to my friends again.
Yeah.
That's how I felt. I was so mad at them. And also mad at myself and also just angry. And then, by the way, I had to live across the hall from him the rest of the year.
Did you ever see him again?
Are you being sarcastic?
No.
I lived across the... I saw him
like,
all the time.
Did you ever talk to him?
I don't think so. Mm. It was like... I mean, I was friends with his roommate. So it was like... It was just so awkward for everyone. And then one of my other roommates started dating his roommate.
Oh,
It was a tangled web we weave. And I lived in that web for... Month.
Yeah. I mean, I didn't hook up with anybody in college or high school. Like not until I moved to New York, because I didn't come out until I was 21. I was never one of those people that was like hooking up with ladies.
Oh,
you know,
didn't feel
couldn't
true.
Do it.
Didn't feel honest. Yeah, I hear you.
To this, I'm like, I need to be into it.
Yeah, that makes sense.
I can't do.
Have you ever had like a horrible makeout?
Yes.
And when you're in a horrible makeout, I just remember thinking like this, I don't know how to get out, but. I had the
biggest crush on the straight guy for years, and we would hang out all the time, and he definitely was not all the way straight. And there'd been like deep convos. I had like told him I had feelings for him. Then he'd stopped talking to me for like 5 months, then showed up at my surprise birthday party. It was a whole lot of things. But then finally, about 2 years ago, we're at the same party. I'm the perfect amount of drunk and confident, you know? Like, I was drunk, but I also took a good amount of Adderall. So I was feeling amazing.
Two martinis and
I was feeling like Samantha Jones. Ooh! You know? And so he was like, do you want to go smoke on the roof? And I was like, you bet I do. And so we go to the roof and he like starts talking about how he's sorry for whatever. And I was like, listen, I don't care. I don't want to get married. Meanwhile, I'm like, I care so much.
Yeah.
Like, I don't care. I don't want to get married. Like, if you ever want to make out, you have my number. And he was like, I think right now. And so then we make out and it was the worst kiss I've ever had. And I remember being like, ugh.
That's the problem with like waiting to kiss, I think, is the buildup. You're like, I made a mistake one time of this guy I went on a date with. I think it was... he didn't drink, which I can't tell you. But he smoked. So I was like, oh, we have to smoke.
Yeah.
So then I was like, well, why don't you come to my apartment? Because I thought he was great company, whatever. But now I'm trapped in my home. And that was the big mistake. Because then when we started kissing and it was bad, I was like, oh, my God.
Can you leave?
Can you leave?
What do you do?
Because on the street, you can be like,
yeah.
Bye.
Oh, they, yeah, that's...
It was rough. I just remember thinking, like,
that's why I don't
you can make this better. You
apartment.
Can train him. No, you can't train. You can't.
No.
Not when it's, like, just something's misaligned. And the thing is, there are misaligned people that align together. So someone will love it.
That's fine. And I'm here. I mean, I'm willing to work for it, you know? Like if someone's
I'm a middle child, I'm happy to work for
literally,
it.
Literally, I'm like, no, I will do anything. I'll be miserable for your happiness.
Yeah, totally.
At all times.
I'm sure there's that part of the middle child of us that is that way in the bedroom. There's a big like pleasing
factor. Oh, I'm like,
factor.
What do you want to do?
Yeah, I'll just sit here.
I'll do whatever you want.
Yeah. I've been trying to get better at that part.
I've been trying to get better just in life at like saying what I actually want. But you know.
So far, still here.
So far, I am still here.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
But this podcast, I could see us taking different adventures, different trips, different people come in out of our lives. We're learning different things.
Who knows?
We're pushing ourselves.
You know, maybe my tech husband is sitting out there right now.
I bet he's listening. And we're going to have guests on the
he's
podcast.
He's listening and it's like by mistake, you know? And then he's like, what is that melodious voice?
You have a very soothing voice. You could just lure him in with the voice.
Thank you. A little
ASMR.
And
we do our first live show. He comes. He's like, oh, I'm a big fan.
And I'm like,
I see the chemistry.
And he's like, yeah, I actually work. I do tech here.
Yeah, he does tech here.
You do tech here. He's like, I own the place also.
So he...
And he's wealthy.
Absolutely. He's tons of money. He's like, I have so much money. I don't know what to do with it.
But on that note, Jesse.
Yeah.
I think we're out of time.
We're out of time, but we're really excited.
So excited.
For...
And I haven't felt excitement in years.
Years. Moons and moons and moons. What you can look forward to is, I mean, guests coming on. We're going to have some oldest, some youngest, some middle.
Some middle, some interviews.
Yes.
Some famous people.
Yes. What we need from you guys is to rate and review.
And subscribe.
Thank you. Rate, review, subscribe. And we're going to be reading your reviews and something very special is going to happen.
Yeah. The thing about Jesse and I is we like to do bits.
Yes.
We met doing bits.
Yeah.
Some call it improv.
Some say bit.
But I don't like using that term.
No, we don't
like
to.
It turns people off.
Yeah.
Which I get. So we're just, it'll be a surprise. But we like a good bit, you know?
We love
I like
a
pretending
good bit.
To be anybody but myself.
Stop it. But you know what? You're my favorite child.
Ugh.
Even if you are a middle.
Thank you. You're my top three.
Wait.
I have Winnie is number one.
That's my cat. Thank you for that.
We bonded today. so, but anyway, guys, truly rate, review, and subscribe. It helps so much more than you would think.
Yeah. And we're really banking on this being everything for us, so please help us do that.
Yeah, my husband went out for a pack of cigarettes and never came back.
Oh.
So let's make him regret it.
Yeah,
and we will see you next week.
Love ya, the middle children.